Good morning. Hear me okay? All right. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me with you this morning. Thank you again for the prayers. And it's kind of interesting because that's exactly what we're going to talk about this morning, prayer. Studying the topic of prayer, I realized as I was studying this, really how lacking I am in prayer. It's a part of the Christian life. It's a part of who we are as believers. And I feel very inadequate talking about the subject of prayer because I feel like I don't do it enough. But let's talk about prayer this morning, shall we? So again, thank you for your prayers. Luke 11, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 11, verse 1. If we could turn there, let's turn to our Bibles about and read about what's happening here. The disciples are watching Jesus. I mean, obviously, they spent a lot of time with them throughout the day, through the evening, seeing the many miracles that he does, all the works that the Lord Jesus Christ was doing. And there's something that they watched him do consistently through his ministry, and that was praying. And so in Luke 11, chapter 1, it says, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say this." And he goes on to have the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins, as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Now, we're not going to take this prayer and dissect it. But they had a question. They said, "Teach us to pray." And I felt like as I was studying this, like, I need to learn more about praying. And the effect it has on not only my lives, but also is other lives abroad, those I have relationships with. And so as we talk about prayer, we're going to look at four different forms of prayer. And there's probably, you know, you could probably break it down in different ways, but I'm listing just four, right? And so the first of the four is you have confession. There's a prayer of confession we're going to look at this morning, a prayer of petition, a prayer of thanksgiving, and a prayer of adoration. All right, and we're going to talk about these four. So let's look at these four forms of prayer and really how they're used in our lives. So the first thing is, what actually is prayer? What is prayer? Some people say, like, well, how do you pray? What is prayer all about? How do you do this? Well, prayer is really simple. It's as simple as what I'm doing right now. We're talking with one another, right? We're having this dialogue with one another. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is actually having communication with God, talking with God. That's what prayer is. It's the act of having dialogue, having communication, but it's a spiritual communication. I want to underline that. It's a spiritual communication with God. Okay, because we're going to come back and talk about this a little bit. And it's a spiritual communication with God where a child of God can give to or ask of God. And so of these four, you know, confession, petition, thanksgiving, and adoration, we could break these down into two different categories. Confession and petition are prayers that we ask God to receive something from him, right? Confessing, asking for his forgiveness, petitioning, asking for his favor. And then there's the other two, thanksgiving and adoration. This is something we give to God. Right, so there's two that we take from God, if I could say it that way, and then there's two that we give to God. Right, and so these are the four forms we're going to talk about. And we look as far as the prayer, how it's important, and how it's important in our lives. It's really critical in deepening our relationship with God. Right, you know, to know someone like Bill. Right, Bill was up this morning introducing me. Bill and I have known each other for 25 years, I think. And so, you know, we know a lot about each other because we have dialogue with each other, right? I know what Bill likes, I know things that Bill doesn't like, and the same thing goes with me regarding Bill. So, but if we didn't have any dialogue or any communication with one another, we would just really just kind of coexist, but really never knowing one another. And would God, even though he doesn't need prayer to know us, right? He knows all things. Prayer really helps us to know him. Because as we have this dialogue with God, as we're reaching out to him, we begin to converse with the moving of the Holy Spirit within us, through God's word and spending time alone with him, we begin to have this communication, and we get to know his character traits better. We get to know how he's moving within our lives, beginning to see what's happening around us a lot more clearly, because we're very busy throughout the weeks and the months and the years of life, right? The tasks that we have of the daily grind, and things kind of just get glossed over. But prayer allows us a time to kind of slow it down, right? Just like right now, spending time, kind of shutting the world out for a little while so we can talk about God's word, kind of, meditate on him, his word, and how we should live, right? So that's what prayer does. It's very important as well as part of our life. The Lord Jesus Christ did it daily. And so we look at in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, risen, that the Lord, and this again, the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning his prayer life, is that he rose before the daylight. In a solitary place, he prayed. Right? And then in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, it talks about how Jesus went to the mountainside to pray, and he continued all night in prayer. And this is after a time when he was healing all day and taking care of the people, the multitudes that were following him. I mean, he just had a full day. And yet he still prayed through the night. And so when we look at the Lord Jesus Christ about how prayer was a big part of his life, it should be a big part of our life, even more so, right? And so so we should implement these things as well. So the first one we're going to look at, a prayer of confession, right? A prayer of confession. So what is confession? Where we're asking, it's a request to God, asking for his forgiveness, right? And so in Psalm 51, let's turn there because I'm going to start here with a story about King David. And you'll probably get there before me. Okay, Psalm 51. And so this psalm is the Psalm of David. And it has to do with him confessing, just asking for forgiveness of the Lord. And David here makes a terrible mistake, gets caught in sin and adultery and murder. And this whole psalm covers this, about what David is feeling, what he's asking of God. But I just want to cover the first few verses here. He says, this is after the prophet Nathan has called him out and says, you are the man who sinned, David. Right? And so David says this, have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. You know, David pours his heart out here. He made a horrible mistake. He sinned, and is a terrible sin. In fact, all sin is terrible in God's eyes. But what David does here is that he just pours his heart out because of he's a man who loves the Lord, who seeks after God, but yet, you know, being a natural man, he makes mistakes, right? And we all have the same issues, right? We all have regrets in life. We've all had fallen short, as Romans talks about. But here, David here, he says, he begins and he says, you know, he calls upon the Lord and he says, have mercy upon me. What's neat about David is even though he's had some, you know, this terrible sin that he had in his life that he made a mistake on, is once that he sees what he's done, he's quick to ask for forgiveness. He doesn't try to justify it, you know, doesn't try to beat around the bush with things. That's the one thing I can appreciate about King David. I mean, there's many things I can like about his character traits. But he calls on the Lord and he says, you know what, I'm calling about the Lord to have mercy on me. Because he understands that God is a merciful God. That is one of the great traits about the Lord, is that he is a God of mercy. And David appeals to this. He reaches out to the Lord and says, you know, have mercy upon me. And he talks about having, according to what? According to your loving kindness and your tender mercies. He knows that God is a God who loves and he is kind towards us. That he is a God who is willing and able to forgive. But the prerequisite is to confess. That's the prerequisite. Is we have to acknowledge our sin and then ask God for forgiveness. And that's here what David is doing. In Exodus chapter 34, Moses, we won't have to read it, but in chapter 34, verses 9, the scene here is when the Lord is making a second, the second tablets of the law. The first ones were broken, and the Lord is making the second one. He's conversing with Moses, and Moses says, you know, pardon our sin. Because we're a stiff-necked people, right? Forgive us for when we rebelled against you, right? And so as Moses appeals to the Lord in this, and David has appealed to the Lord in this, we should be doing the same thing, right? And that as believers and having, you know, fallen short, you know, maybe we've said something we shouldn't have said, or within our hearts, you know, somebody cuts us off in the road and we're like, oh, you know, you shouldn't have did that, right? I mean, those are, you know, those are that sin surfacing in our life. And we need to ask the Lord to help us to deal with these things. And so whether it be in our mind, in our heart, our actions, whatever it may be, we need to confess these things. And asking that the Lord would help us to blot out the transgressions. And this is, that's the great thing about the Lord Jesus Christ, is that his work, his atoning work at the cross, washes us clean from sin. Right? Even though right now I'm in this phase called a sanctification, right? That I'm working out my salvation, not that it's, you know, me trying to be good. It's me already being saved, already washed because of what Christ has done for me at the cross at Calvary. But now, as having a new nature, I'm seeing the good and bad fight within me. And how do I have victory over the bad that wants to surface, the old Julio coming out? Prayer. Confessing to the Lord to help me to be able to triumph over these things. And the day that's coming, right? We know that we triumph because I've done something great. It's because the great work that Christ has done, and that He triumphs in the end. And if my salvation is wrapped up in Him, then I'm coming along for the ride. Psalm 103, verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. You know, we can come to the Lord and confess. And we can come to Him knowing that He is all-loving towards us. He is kind towards us and He is full of mercy. And He is able and ready to forgive. I think one of the, a quick little picture of this is, you know, reading at the end of the Gospels, when you read about the repentant thief that hung there on the cross next to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a time in which one of those thieves looked on the Lord Jesus Christ and realized, and he says it, that, you know, I'm rightfully getting what's due to me. And he asked the Lord Jesus, he looks over to him, he says, remember me into your kingdom, right? When you go into paradise. And the Lord tells him that he will be remembered, that surely he will be with him in paradise. And I look at that passage as really is that repentant thief is really calling out or telling the Lord, he's confessing and asking for forgiveness. Right? Asking to be remembered. Because he said, this man, he knew, did no wrong. 1 Corinthians 11:28, you know, the context is talking about when we go to worship the Lord, how we should examine ourselves before we come and break bread. And we did that this morning. But I think it's a good practice to examine ourselves. You know, examine our life in Christ. And if there's things that need to have some work on, which I have a huge list, right, that we would bring before the Lord in prayer and confess and say, Lord, help me with this. I'm struggling with this. And he is able to do that. So a prayer of confession. That's one of them. Another one, a prayer of petition. What am I saying here? It's requesting God's favor, right? That God would act on your behalf. And there's many examples of this, right? How we could have a prayer petition. Some of the Old Testament ones I want to share with you is like the story of Joshua, right? Joshua chapter 10, verse 12. Joshua is fighting the Amorites, and he wants to have victory over them. And he has a very interesting prayer. He says, do not let the sun go down. Hold the sun, the moon, and the stars so they can have victory, right? It's a prayer that Joshua had. And everything stands still. To shed the light a little longer in the day so they could have victory over the enemy. Right? That was a prayer petition. He was asking God to do something on their behalf. Right? Another one, Jonathan in 1 Samuel 14. Jonathan, when he goes to battle the Philistines, and he's with his armor bearer. And as they go to, you know, right now you have the nation of Israel is hiding in caves, behind rocks, behind bushes, because they're fearful. And they're worried that they're going to be overtaken. And so Jonathan, King Saul's son, with his armor bearer, says, you know what? We're going to pray to the Lord. And basically as a prayer petition, he says, you know, we're going to ask that the Lord is going to give them into our hands. And I kind of like his prayer because it's, and how he sets it up. He says, we're going to go to their camp and we're going to say, and we're going to show ourselves to them. And they say, hey, come on up here. That means that the Lord's going to deliver them into our hands. But if they say, hey, we're going to come down to you, then we know that the Lord is going to, you know, that the Lord is not with us. Which is kind of really opposite how I would think about doing it. Because I'm not going to show myself to the enemy and the enemy say, yeah, hey, come on up here, I got to show you something. Like, you know, just two of us against thousands, right? But as we know how the story is, which is kind of telling of Jonathan's faith, is they said, hey, come on up here. And those two walked up there and it says, and they fought like 1,000 men. Right? And the Lord came and fought for them, caused an earthquake. They were confused and disarrayed. They started fighting amongst themselves. And the battle was won that day. Right? A prayer of petition. Think about Gideon. And this is kind of getting into some things that I can share about my personal life. Gideon, you know, throwing the fleece on the ground. And you know, you can read that story in Judges chapter 6. But it wasn't about, you know, his little prayer petition was just to confirm that, okay, you're the great God of Israel. You're the one that's talking to me. It isn't Baal. It isn't somebody else. It's the great God of Israel who is talking to me to go fight, you know, the Midianites, I think it was, right? And the Lord acted on his behalf. He You know, made the fleece wet when he asked. Made the fleece dry when he asked. Right? And so I remember on a personal note, I remember when we moved to Arizona, it was back in 2007. We were here having fellowship here at Calvary and, you know, been here my whole life. And the downturn of the economy started having me having a lack of work. There was financial strain. I mean, it hit everybody, right? It was a bad time for the country. And I was petitioning the Lord, asking him, what should I do? What am I supposed to do? Well, he brought us to Arizona for almost 5 years. And he made it very clear to us, even though I struggled with the answers that I was getting, even though they were coming very clear, is I began to, let me throw the fleece out again, Lord, or let me try it this way. And he was answering back and forth. But eventually he used, which was good for me anyway, was the Lord used that passage, which is why I used Jonathan the Armor Bearer, because it really spoke to me about God saying, you know, when he shows you something, it's time to act. And he really kind of rebuked me, saying, you know, you've asked for a lot of things, and I've showed you very clearly what my answers were to you, and now it's time for you to go. And we did. You know, and we were blessed by it. It was a neat experience for us. It was a neat adventure that God brought us through. But now he brought us back. So, you know, a prayer petition. Mark in chapter 14, the Lord, and we talked about this a little bit this morning here. I shared some thoughts about this. But here's the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it says that he prayed. And he says, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him, that this cup would pass for him, that this hour would pass. He prayed that, you know, if this cup could pass me, let it be. But not according to my will, but of yours, Father. That if there's any other way that mankind could be saved other than him going to the cross, possibly let it be so. But not according to his own will. But it was according to his Father's will. And as we know, there was no other way. There is no other way for man to be saved. And that's why Christ did come and die on a cross. And he willfully laid down his life because he loved his Father and had a love for us. But I think when we think about a prayer petition, I the reason why I shared this thought is because when we pray, we need to be praying in accordance to God's will. Right? I want a Lamborghini. That'd be a cool car to have. Or a Corvette. Bill's saying, no, Corvette, right? But is that really God's will for me to have a Lamborghini or a Corvette? It's not. If it's not according to his will, I mean, I'm not sure if that's really the prayer I should be having, right? We should really be thinking about really what our prayer life is like and what we're petitioning God for. You know, how about, you know, the things that are in our lives that need to be changed, or some of the struggles our brothers and sisters are going through, right? Praying for one another, as James talks about. We think about in Philippians, Paul says this, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy. Praying for fellow believers, fellow saints, petitioning to Lord on their behalf, right? That is something that we could apply in our lives, right? And when I talk about me being feeling like very inadequate about prayer, I was thinking about this, about how often I just pray more so on things of just about me, right, and not about others. And as I read Paul and I think about the Lord Jesus Christ, I think about, you know, their prayer habits and what that may have looked like. I'm not even scratching the surface. And so this is something that we can think about. And again, we can bring anything we want to the Lord. I mean, there's financial strain. There's health issues, right? We pray for our family members here who are battling cancer or whatever else it might be. Work or the relationships we have. You know, we can pray for all these things. It says in Philippians 4:6, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We can bring everything to Him. Everything, right? And so this kind of dovetails into our next point as a prayer of thanksgiving, right? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Giving thanks to Him. And I had some thoughts about this, like, you know, I confess, I have some petitions, usually it's based on me, but the thanksgiving part, I really give thanks to the Lord in my prayer for many things. And I thought, and this is just a personal confession, I don't even, as I was studying this, I do not do it enough. Right? And, you know, even this morning, I'm sitting there, get a cup of coffee and get things ready. And I'm talking to Marilyn, we're getting stuff. And she opens up the fridge, and I looked at the fridge and went, I didn't give thanks for the food that's in that fridge. You know? The things in life that I just gloss right over. Right? So, shame on me. I need to work on stuff like that. So, you know, our prayer petitions, they turn into, they'll evolve into prayers of thanksgivings, right? And so we need to give back to God a prayer of thanks, right? And what does that look like? What is like a prayer of thanks, right? Well, some of the things are easy to see, like, oh, I thank you, I got the new job, or like Julie just got a car, right? That's something to give thanks about. That's a prayer of thanks, right? And so in Psalm 55, I'll turn there because I think it kind of dovetails well with, we talked about some of these battles that these Old Testament characters were having as far as wartime goes. But Psalm 55, another Psalm of David. You know, and Psalms is good because it's a book of songs, but they're prayer songs, right? They're poems and prayer songs. And so, you know, if you're having a problem trying to put some words together, your thoughts together, go to Psalms. Psalms is very helpful as we read others who are before us going through some of the same issues or having the same anxieties and fears that they express. And I say, you know what? It's a good read. That's exactly how I'm feeling. Right? And so in Psalm 55, we read another Psalm of David. And it's in verse 17 and 18. It says, evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. And the reason why I use this, I was thinking, you know, how, you know, David was a king that was really had, you know, through his kingship, just battle after battle after battle after battle. And we read about these guys who were before us, with, you know, with Jonathan, and reading about, you know, some of the prophets that were going through that would have to, you know, fight the Amorites or fight the Philistines or fight the Midianites. Well, David here is really, I think he's in this part of this section here. And again, you could use a whole bunch of different texts here in the Psalms, but this particular one. He says, he's redeemed my soul in peace. He's giving thanks to the Lord. Even though he had all this turmoil that surrounds him, he finds peace with God. And what I like is how David says this, it's a little bit different how I would think I would say things. He says, evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud. Usually we say morning, noon, and night. But he says, night, noon, and morning. And I thought, well, why would he say it that way? And I thought, at least for me on a personal level, was, you know, maybe I'll pray in the morning. Maybe you'll catch me praying at noon. And sometimes you'll be praying in the evening, but not through the night. I'm sleeping. Right? I'm out. I'm tired. But here David is saying evening first and then noon, which means he's up through the night. Right, and I thought that was kind of interesting about, you know, the dedication to prayer, the importance of that, and some of the things that we're reading, and how, you know, David exhibits this. Right, we see it through the Lord in the Lord Jesus Christ's life. We see it here in David, and for me, I was thinking I should think about applying that as well. I have it's interesting. This is a true story. Is that clock right? Okay, it is. Okay. So, true story. So, going back to Arizona. So, I think I've shared this story with some of you, but some may have not heard this before. So, you know, when we're going through a time, sometimes it's hard to give thanks. It's easy to give thanks when things are just going right, just kind of falling into place, right? But sometimes, you know, when things aren't going the way you think it should be going, it's hard to give thanks. And I remember a time when I was in Arizona, and the economy, you know, the spiral downward eventually catches up in the state of Arizona. So we've moved from Michigan. Lord brings me from Michigan to move out to Arizona because I had no work. I get to Arizona, everything is doing great, and then the downturn of the economy starts. And so it catches up with me again. And I remember sitting in my car, and literally, I mean, we probably had, you know, a slice of bread in the refrigerator. I don't know what we had, right? Nothing. Let's put it that way. We had nothing. And I remember sitting in my car, and I was reading the scriptures and having a time of prayer, and I was reading Psalm 37. And it says, I am young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. And I'm sitting there thinking, we have like very little money. I'm like 2 hours away doing some work, trying to make a little money as I possibly could. And I read this and I said, Lord, I'm going to hold you to your promise here that you are going to provide me bread. And I kid you not, I did not even finish that thought. And I get a knock on my window. And I'm tearing up in the car, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do. So I had a prayer petition, right? And a challenge to the Lord. And I get this knock on my window. And I see this guy standing there, and he's like, you know, like, roll down your window, you know? So I roll down my window, you know, I'm wiping my tears dry. I'm like, yeah, can I help you? And he goes, yeah. He goes, I'm this, right down here, he goes, in the strip mall here, I'm the baker that owns this bakery down here. He goes, and I got these bags of bread. Do you want them? And I was thinking, you've got to be kidding me, right? And so, you know, through that, boy, I was thankful. And we knew a number of families that were struggling just like us that I piled in these bags of bread and drove it back to our house. We could eat, had some bread, and we gave it to other families that needed some bread. And boy, was I thankful, right? A prayer of thanksgiving. So, you know, we need to, you know, take these moments in, kind of stop and watch and look around and see, you know, what the Lord is doing and be thankful. You know, it's easy for the stuff that just comes easy to us. You know, I really needed this and bam, there it is. Oh, fantastic. But even when we don't think we're getting the answer that we wanted, we can still be thankful, right? You know, I didn't bring it. I forgot it, but I have a prayer journal. It's very similar to this, all right? And actually, and again, I'm gonna pick on you, Barb, for a second, because I thought Mike Antos had shown me this, what he had done, but he got the idea from you. And I had this prayer journal. So I was going through, you know, again, reading through the text. I was like, you know, there's my prayer journal again. So I picked it up and I started reading through it. And it's something very similar to this. And I have on one side, as you open it up, has all these prayer requests. And then the other side, you know, line for line, is the answer, how God answered those prayer requests. It goes all the way back to like 2002, to the current year. And I was reading this, you know, going through pages, saying to myself, I have forgotten how much God has done. You know, that little book helped me to be thankful for what God does, right? And so, you know, if you don't have one, I encourage you to get one. It's helped me. you know, it helps me not to forget. But just kind of moving on. So, you know, it's a prayer of thanksgiving, right? One of the things that I'm going to just kind of share a really quick thought about Marilyn, then I'll move on to the next point. You know, my wife, Marilyn, she's great. And there's a trait that she has. She has a trait of thankfulness. So it's just how she is. She's always thankful about stuff. I'm always worrying about this and worrying about that. She'll just be thankful. Just be thankful. And even the coronavirus, I mean, as crazy as this is and the situation has been going down, she likes to have quality time with her family. And the coronavirus had us locked in the house. And she goes, I'm thankful for the quality time that we have together. Right? And so even in times of hardship, we can find ways to be thankful. And I've just appreciated that about her, that thankfulness trait that she has. So we need to give thanks. We need to find ways in giving thanks to the Lord and paying attention to those, the circumstance, even though how difficult they may be, finding how to be thankful in that. So confession, petition, thankfulness, and this last one, I only got a few minutes, adoration. All right, what do I mean by adoration? Worshiping the Lord, praising Him in our prayer, right? We have having reverence to Him, exalting Him. And I really think that worship is really the highest form of prayer, right? Something we give to Him, we're remembering what He's done, His great works. We think about, you know, first and foremost, the work of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we shared about, we had a time of worship this morning in which we pray and lift up the Lord like we did this morning in the Lord's Supper, right? A time we can worship Him. And that's what God is doing. God is seeking worshipers, right? That is our first job as Christians, to worship Him, right? The second is evangelize and disciple people so they can become worshipers and worship Him and know how to worship Him as we do. But, you know, this prayer of adoration, the prayer of, you know, worshiping the Lord, this is the highest form. And there's, when we think about our worship, I think what prayer does in this type of form, when we worship the Lord, it can encompass the other forms like confession and petitions and thanksgivings. It helps us to, as we see God moving in all these different ways, when we come to Him and go to worship Him in prayer, it helps us, we see these things that are happening, it helps us to appreciate God and exalt Him for who He is. And one of the things I was looking at is, for example, is Psalm 145. You don't have to turn there, but if you read through that psalm, you'll see confession, you'll see petitions, you'll see thanksgivings. And that is a psalm of worship, right? It's a prayer in a song worshiping the Lord. Exodus, going back to that Exodus 34 section, we talk about Moses when God was making the second group of tablets. It says that Moses, right before Moses says about pardoning the iniquity, it says that he bowed his head to the earth and worshiped the Lord and prayed for a pardon of sin. Right? As he's worshiping Him, he's making confession and worshiping the Lord and asking Him for His forgiveness. But he did it in worship. Right? You know, how again, praying to the Lord, how do we worship Him? Lifting up, thinking about His great work, thinking about His majesty and power. We can worship Him in Him being the rock. We heard it this morning, how He's the unchanging God, His eternal love, how He's the God who's full of compassion for us. There's a lot to worship about the Lord. There's a lot we can pray and lift up to the Lord in worshiping Him. And so, just in closing, Just some last things here. We have these four things: confession, petition, thanksgiving, adoration. How are we doing in that prayer time? Right? You know, I have a really quick thing here. It's a phone. We all got them. Right? And what's interesting about these phones is these phones will tell us a little bit about ourselves. I can go to, you know, systems or setup or whatever it might be. Larry could probably tell me this. But there's a thing called data usage. And you go in the data usage file, and there's either a bar graph or a pie chart of, like, okay, this is how much YouTube you're on, and this is how much you do of this, and how much you do of that. Right? It tells a lot about what we spend our time on. I wonder what the bar graph or the pie chart of prayer time would look like in our lives. Right? I know what mine is looking like, and I got a lot of work to do. But God is able to help. So let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word. I mean, we're not, again, not even scratching the surface about prayer. But we ask you, Lord, that you would help us to be able to do this. We know that if we were to spend more time with you in solitude and reflecting upon your work, we'd be better for it. And we would deepen our relationship with you. Lord, if for those of us who do believe, I ask, Lord, that you would help us with this. For those of us who, maybe through Zoom or in this room who do not know you as Savior yet, I pray, Lord, that they would begin to have a relationship with you. And it begins really what the first prayer is, a prayer of confession, acknowledging their sin, knowing they need Christ as Savior, not a religious system, not according to their own works, but, Lord, a prayer of confession, knowing where they stand with you and knowing that they are a sinner. But yet, because the work of Christ, because of what Jesus Christ did in dying on the cross, being buried in a tomb, and 3 days later rising again, that God has made a promise to anyone who calls upon his name that they will have the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. Lord, let it start there. It starts with confession. And in the end, may we work towards a better worship to you. We pray for the rest of the day, the rest of the week, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Thank you.